In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. What does it mean to be lost? Each of today's readings from our Holy Scriptures touches on that question. The prophet Jeremiah thunders with the dismay of God over the people of Jerusalem who have lost their way in their relationship with God. Foolish, they are called, even stupid. Having no understanding, knowing only how to do evil, knowing nothing about how to do good. The psalmist sees the fool who says there is no God. And again, no one who does any good, no, not one. Everyone faithless, not a single person who does good. And in the first letter to Timothy, Paul is describes himself as a blasphemer, a persecutor, and a man of violence. Lost, lost, lost. A people and an apostle. Lost from their true selves, lost from their neighbors, lost, it seems, even from God. Each of these threads are brought together by Luke, both in the setting and in the telling of the story from this morning's gospel. We find Jesus in the familiar setting of a meal. As we travel with Luke this year through the life of Jesus, and especially on this final journey to Jerusalem, Jesus is found more and more often at a meal and in the company of those who are styled as sinners. Luke has a special place in his story for sinners. Perhaps that's why so many of us feel at home in this gospel. In our story today, Jesus hears the Pharisees and the scribes as they grumble about his relationship with these sinners. And so he tells them a couple of stories. Stories that tell us something about what it means to be lost. Stories that tell us something about what it means to be sought for. Stories that tell us what it means, something about what it means to be found. It's been difficult to impossible in this season in our common life, and especially perhaps this last week, to observe the current state of American Christianity and not fear that it too has become lost. By American Christianity, I mean that curious melding of Christianity and patriotism that manifests itself from time to time in the story of our nation. This, sadly, to my way of thinking, appears to be one of those times. A portion of the Christian community in our country seems to have lost its way, lost in their relationships with their neighbors, and so far as it appears to me, lost in their relationship with God. They have so lost their way that they confuse their citizenship in the kingdom of God with their patriotism. Now for the hardest question, what does God call us to do in response? It is so, and I wrote so with eight O's, it is so easy to sit back and be self-righteous. Those of us who inhabit the liberal, progressive, modernist, inclusive, tolerant branch of the Episcopal Church are very much at risk. We, and I count myself in that camp, we are very much at risk of becoming like the Pharisees and the scribes, sitting around prone to grumble about all those other people who are sinners. We're at risk of becoming lost ourselves. When we choose to follow in the footsteps of Jesus, we will have to go to places we probably don't want to go, and we will have to seek out people with whom we probably don't want to hang out. And here is where the gospel presses upon us most deeply. If God's mercy is truly without limit, that's a good question. If God's mercy is truly without limit, then what excuse do we have for putting limits on our own? If heaven rejoices over even one sinner who repents, then how dare we refuse to rejoice when someone we'd written off as beyond hope is gathered back into the fold? To be lost is not only to stray from God, but also to forget that others belong to God every bit as much as we do. These parables Jesus tells us today remind us that the shepherd leaves the 99 for the one, that a woman turns her house upside down for a single lost coin. These are not pictures of a cautious, careful mercy. They are pictures of a reckless, extravagant, unrelenting love, a love that refuses to give up on what has wandered away. And so, if we claim to be disciples of this Jesus, we must ask, whom have we left behind? Who is missing from our table? Who has been lost, not because God has forgotten them, but because we have? To follow Jesus is to join the search party, to rejoice when the lost are found, to live mercy. What did we hear in the gospel today but that there is joy in heaven and among the angels when what was once lost is found? Jeremiah's prophecy included a small nugget of a hopeful future, easily lost in the litany of woe and waste and desolation that awaits Jerusalem. Is an almost throwaway line where God says, yet I will not make a full end. Yet I will not make a full end. The destroying armies did arrive. Jerusalem was sacked. Exile in Babylon lasted more than a single generation. But a people who were once lost found themselves again and did return, the relationship with God restored. Even as the psalm laments the evildoers who do not know God, we hear that at the last day, God is their refuge. Again, the people who were lost will be found again. And even that old rascal Paul, once a blasphemer, once a prosecutor of the followers of Jesus, once a man of violence, even Paul experienced the mercy of a God who was not content that he should remain lost forever. A message that overarches and throughout the story of our faith is that the God we worship is the one who is revealed as having mercy. And there is no shortage of that mercy. Because I need a share of it, each of you needs a share of it. No matter how lost we may have become, God responds with an abundance of mercy that is unexpected. Mercy that is so abundant as to seem unreasonable. Mercy that restores us even when we have been lost in our relationships with our true selves, lost in our relationships with our neighbors, and even when we have been lost in our relationship with God. Thanks be to God that there is no shortage of mercy. Live in mercy.